This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Hoosier fans. We're live at the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Today, I'm Sammy Jacobs, your host. Co-host TJ Inman will be along here shortly. We are going to preview the Big Ten East football. So we'll go through Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, Rutgers, and of course, Indiana. We'll go through where we think teams will finish, strengths and weaknesses of each team. And we'll talk about every team in the division, and then we'll get to tomorrow. We'll look at the Big Ten West and those teams on the other side of the conference. Right now, we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. As always, it is a pleasure to be talking football, and I know we're both excited about doing these podcasts here for the Big Ten previews and then carrying that on nationally and really starting to dig into the upcoming season.
Yeah, we're 66 days away from kickoff, 66 days in an hour since kickoff will be at 8 o'clock on ESPN against Ohio State. But let's take a look at the Big Ten East. We'll do our predictions at the end, TJ, but let's start with Ohio State, who made the college football playoff last year, comes in as heavy favorites, maybe not heavy favorites, but favorites in the Big Ten East. You know, a lot of change going on with Kevin Wilson becoming their offensive coordinator. You know, JT Barrett is back, but they lose a lot of talent at some of these skill positions, and then a lot of talent on defense in the secondary. Where do you see Ohio State?
Well, I think the secondary is certainly the biggest maybe cause for concern. That being said, it's really hard to worry too much about the Buckeyes. And I think mainly that's due to the line of scrimmage. They're going to be very stout, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. I think that their defensive line, which is going to be led by Sam Hubbard and Tyquan Lewis at the end. Then they also have Joey Bosa's younger brother who, I don't think the expectations are as high for him as, you know, to produce like Joey Bosa, but he doesn't have to. He's going to be a role player. So those guys form a really good pass rush. And then I think kind of they're beginning to get kind of an assembly line at linebacker. And yes, Raekwon McMillan's gone, but, you know, everybody that writes about it or talks about it that I hear as I, you know, research Ohio State thinks that Jerome Baker can be, you know, kind of that next man up that starts for a year and then is off to the NFL and picked in the first round. In the secondary, I think that there should be a little bit of a concern with the safety position. You know, they're probably going to start a couple of seniors. Eric Smith and Damon Webb are probably going to start. Guys have some experience, but they're not as talented as the guys that they are replacing. I don't think anybody would tell you differently. And they don't have the level of experience that offsets that. They have a little bit of playing experience, and they are older, but it's not like they're seniors that have started, you know, two seasons that are going to be able to offset some of the talent deficiency with that playing experience. So I think there's a little bit of concern there, but having an incredibly stout run defense and a really good pass rush should offset some of that. And then it's very possible that some of their youngsters who, I mean, they're recruiting at a very high level, that's stating the obvious. It's very possible that those guys by the middle of the season have supplanted the more veteran players just based on their talent. Offensively, obviously, JT Barrett back, Mike Weber back, forms a very good backfield, probably the second best backfield in the Big Ten, maybe first, depends on who you ask. But them and Penn State both right there in terms of the backfield. And then there's a lot of good options behind Mike Weber as well. I think the receivers are maybe a little bit of a concern, and especially the deep passing game a concern, because Barrett's just not that good of a passer. He's fairly accurate, short to medium range. I think even when you get past about 15 yards, I think his accuracy level goes down quite a bit. We saw it really stand out the Indiana game last year, that he just had a hard time getting anything going against IU's secondary, and hopefully that continues for this season. But, you know, I do worry a little bit if I'm an Ohio State fan about kind of the level of wide receiver that they have. They do have a lot of talent there, but if they're that one, you know, number one guy, I'm not sure. I think they have a lot of number twos and threes. I don't know if they have that number one, the true go-to receiver that keeps defensive coordinators up at night. The offensive line is going to be really good. Their running game is going to be outstanding. So we'll see if Kevin Wilson can get that vertical passing game going. If so, they'll be a truly elite offense. If not, they'll be just really good. And I think the defense, like I said, incredibly good up front, really good at linebacker, questionable at secondary. So teams, if they can protect their quarterback, might be able to pass on them, especially near the beginning of the year while they're, you know, replacing everybody that was back there a year ago. So I think they're the favorite, and a lot of that for me, you know, when you look at these predictions, you have to talk about the schedule. And, yep. And I look at their schedule, and it's favorable for them. It really is.
It is. They start their schedule, of course, at Indiana. They play Oklahoma, who, if you've been living under a rock recently, Bob Stoops retired, I think a couple weeks ago, from Oklahoma. So they'll be playing at home against Oklahoma, who's talented, but you don't know how they're going to react to the new coach and things like that. And Ohio State handled them pretty easily last year in Norman. And then they play Army and UNLV at home to round out their non-conference schedule at Rutgers. I mean, they're up and basically outside of Oklahoma, their September and October is pretty easy until you get to mid-October when you're going to Nebraska. You have an open date, and then Penn State, and these are the two teams that I think are going to be at the top of that division. Penn State comes into Ohio Stadium. Penn State knocked them off last year in a very sloppy game, special teams-wise, for Ohio State. And you'll know that Urban and that crowd would want a revenge. It cost them a Big Ten title, and you know they want to get that crown back, get back to the playoff. And then, of course, at the end of the year, they have to go up to Michigan. But right now, with the last 2 years with Michigan and Ohio State just owns Michigan. And until they can prove themselves, I'm still going to, you know, put my money, so to speak, on Ohio State, even though that game's going to be up at the Big House. But let's take a look at Penn State. TJ, this is a team that I think is, you know, if that game against Ohio State was at a neutral site, I'd probably pick them to win the Big Ten East. The game's at Ohio State. It's very difficult to win there, but they have probably the best quarterback running back combination in the Big Ten in Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley. Both of them could be Heisman candidates at the end of the year. Even the beginning of the year, their names are going to be in the conversation. Will they win it? I don't know. It's tough with two teammates that good. They're going to steal votes from each other, but they're as good as advertised. McSorley throws a great deep ball. We saw him against IU last year where, you know, I think he threw under 30 passes, but he had 332 yards or something. And if he continues to get those deep balls to those receivers, he's going to have a big year. And then Saquon Barkley is an unbelievable running back. And can do everything. And then you have the defense is breaking in some new guys, but does return Marcus Allen at safety. And they're just well coached. They're out of the Sandusky sanctions, and they actually are fielding a full Big Ten roster now. So that this season's gonna come down to that game at Ohio State. They get Michigan at home. They play Pittsburgh at home. Their other non-conference games are Akron and Georgia State. They have to go to Northwestern and then to Michigan State and to Maryland. So it's a very manageable schedule. They have some guys who are back. Just that offense, especially with you have a tight end, Mike Gesicki, who's an excellent receiver as well. Deshaun Hamilton and Saeed Blacknall. Give him three good weapons in the passing game for Trace McSorley to go to as well. And then Hoosier fans might be familiar with Tommy Stevens, who was a one-time IU commit, decommitted, went to Penn State. He's a guy who can be used in some running situations if Penn State wants to give a team a different look. They did that last year against Iowa. He played pretty well. He appeared in seven games, threw three passes, and he ran it 21 times for 200 yards and two touchdowns. So he could be a guy that you could throw into the offense and make things happen. On defense, as I said, Marcus Allen's back. He was their leading tackler last year with 110 tackles. They do lose linebacker Brandon Bell, but Jason Cabina is Manny Bowen is back as well. Penn State, you're not really ever worried about the defense there. They recruit well. It's linebacker you, and they're going to find somebody who wants to play defense and rush the passer. So I would pick both of these teams to go to come down to that game at Ohio State on October 28th. That'll be the de facto Big Ten East championship. As long as none of Ohio State or Penn State trips up at another game, but you don't, based on the schedule, you don't see that happening. So let's move on to Michigan. It's the big three in the Big Ten East.
One quick word on those two, and I definitely agree to the top two, and I don't think it's particularly close, but you'll notice when we're talking about their schedule, neither of them play Wisconsin, which will factor in when we're talking about the West tomorrow, but I think also factors into I just think it really sets up nicely for both of them in West's both best squad, and I don't think they'll avoid the Badgers altogether, because I do think they'll perhaps see them in Indianapolis, but it's very fortuitous for them, that, and perhaps for the Big Ten overall, if you're talking about an intriguing matchup, you could avoid a rematch in the Big Ten title game. But those two not drawing Wisconsin in the cross-division games is good for Wisconsin, and it's good for both of them as well and their playoff hopes. So, we'll move on to Michigan, though.
Yeah, well, just quickly, Ohio State's crossover games are Illinois at home, at Nebraska, and at Iowa. So it's not totally easy. At Nebraska and at Iowa are tough games. Illinois at home, it should be a win. And then for Penn State, they have to go at Iowa, at Northwestern, and they get Nebraska at home. So Penn State's got a little bit harder of a task with their crossover games, but still those are games that, you know, you would think that Penn State has the firepower to win, even on the road. So to Michigan, TJ, this is a team that has been in the headlines for a lot of nonsense stuff, so to speak. Their trip to Italy, the players want to go to London and Paris. It's been a lot of non-football things in terms of their publicity. But they're clearly third in the division. And Jim Harbaugh has done a nice job of taking Michigan from, you know, the Brady Hoke and Rich Rodriguez eras and bringing them back to national relevance. But they're still stuck behind Ohio State. And now it looks like Penn State has passed them as well. You know, what's your feel on Michigan?
It's incredibly tough to evaluate this team. The defense last year was awesome. There's no doubt about that. They did fade a little bit at the end of the year as injuries kind of bit them. But they lose 10 starters from that defensive unit. I mean, how do you accurately evaluate what they're going to be when they lose so much from that unit? I mean, there's no doubt that they've got a lot of talent because they have recruited very well since Harbaugh stepped foot on campus. And their roster is going to continue to improve, and I think that they probably are looking towards next season as being one that, you know, could be a special one for them. But for 2017, I think the defense will be, I think, top, probably at the start of the year, like a top 40 defense is probably a realistic expectation. By the end of the season, if they can stay healthy, I think you're probably looking at a top 15, top 20. I think they still have Don Brown, who is, I think he's as good a defensive coordinator as there is in the country. I love how aggressive the defense plays under him. And Rashawn Gary, they've recruited defensive tackle or defensive line as well as anybody in the country this side of Alabama. And so I'm interested to see how Rashawn Gary, who was the number one recruit a season ago, how he performs in his second year. His first year was, he was just behind a lot of guys that were older than he was. So he's won. But they just have so much to replace there. Offensively, you bring back Wilton Spate. He performed quite a bit better than people realistically expected him to. So that's good. And another Indiana, not IU, but the state of Indiana kid, Brandon Peters, is behind him if Wilton Spate were to slip up. And I'm not sure how long Brandon Peters has to impress because of how well Michigan's recruiting behind him with guys like Dylan McCaffrey and another blue chipper on the way after him. So time ticking for anyone on that roster, but Chris Evans, Ben Davis kid, his full-starting running back role. I really, we texted about him a little bit. We both like his big playability. He's got breakaway speed that could change the game. They're really replacing their entire receiver core. It's unknown what they'll do at tight end. Tyrone Wheatley Jr. is the starter there. He's got a lot of talent. But again, it's just entirely unknown with the exception of Spate. Chris Evans, who we saw some of last year, and then a couple of offensive linemen, Mason Cole being the best of the group. He's an NFL draft pick after this season, but it's hard to evaluate them. I do know that their schedule is tough. I mean, they've got non-conference games against Florida, Cincinnati, Air Force. None of those are cakewalks divisions. And then they drew Minnesota, who will not be a cakewalk, but it's a game that they should win. It's a rivalry game for them. They go to Wisconsin November 18th, so they'll be a lot better by that time. But still, that's a road game at Camp Randall. That's tough. And then, of course, all your division games, including at Penn State and against Ohio State. So very, very tough. And for me, I know a lot of the preseason magazines are projecting them to go like 9-3, 10-2. I know that there's a couple of people that have projected them to be better than they were a season ago, and I think that's insanity. I think a good season for them would be 8 wins. Not a great season, but a good season for them I think would be 8 wins and build towards a really good 2018. I don't think they touch Ohio State or Penn State at the top of this division, though.
Yeah, well, it brings up an odd question because Jim Harbaugh is going into his third year, and your expectations is that Michigan should be competing for the top of the division and to go to the college football playoff. And it's how long do you let Jim Harbaugh, before his shtick becomes tiring? How long do people give him before they're sick of him? And this team could lose 4 games. Florida at a neutral site, their defense is excellent. If they can find a quarterback to run that offense, they're a very, very tough opponent. Cincinnati, they should win in Air Force. Running that triple option is a little tricky. But, there are three or four and almost five games where you could toss it up and say, you know what, Michigan could lose this. And if they don't get the bounces that they're used to, or a call here and there, or just miss that veteran leadership that they've lost on defense and in the receiving core and at tight end.
Yeah.
This, I don't, 8-4, sure, it's a good season, but do you, as a Michigan fan, are you happy with it? Are you happy with 9-3 and losing to Ohio State again? Especially at home, that'd be in Harbaugh's 3 years. If they lose to Ohio State this year, they've lost 2 out of 3 at home, and they got spanked at home his first year. So we'll see. But that, you know, at Wisconsin's tough, at Penn State is tough, and Ohio State is also tough as well at home. And then you have Florida. That's four games that you could call toss up games that they could very well lose as well. But Michigan, it is another team that you're right, TJ, we don't know that much about in terms of production on the field. They have recruited well. They got the nation's top player in wide receiver, Donovan Peoples-Jones. He'll slide right in at receiver. Dylan McCaffrey, quarterback, the fourth best player in the class last year. Cesar Ruiz, offensive lineman who was in for spring, was ranked by Phil Stigl as the number 12 prospect. There's a linebacker, Drew Singleton, who's number 8. The list goes on. This team is recruited very, very well, but how much patience do Michigan fans have for a team that, has lost a lot of big games? They've lost, I know they beat Michigan State last year, but they've lost to Michigan State. They've lost 3 in a row against Ohio State. They lost at Iowa this year. It seems they lost the Orange Bowl to Florida State. It seems like when the lights are the brightest on this Michigan team right now, they're just not making the plays that they need to. And we'll see. Next up, we'll do IU quickly, TJ. We're Hoosier Huddle. We got to cover IU. Indiana, it's a weird year for the Hoosiers. Going through a coaching change but coming back with the expectations that they have is unprecedented at IU. It's a team that many people project between 5 and 7 wins. Some sites in Vegas have them up at 8 wins and above, and it's not shocking. I would not be shocked if IU won 8 games. If they won 9 games, I'd be shocked, but they have to go. Well, here's your 8 wins. If you're talking about wins, at Virginia, FIU, and Georgia Southern is 3. If you could beat Michigan State, Maryland, Illinois, Rutgers, and Purdue. That's not an overwhelming schedule in terms of talent, especially at the back end when you end the season with 3 games of at Illinois, Rutgers, and at Purdue. And yep. Your other non-conference Power 5 game is against the Virginia team, who will be improved, but went 2-10 last year. And if you could win those 3 non-conference games and somehow win 5 Big Ten games, it's not out of the question to win 8. If you win 9, that means you're knocking off of Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, or Wisconsin. But those other games are there. And IU has the talent. Richard Lay goes back. He threw for 3,300 yards last year. We know he threw a lot of interceptions, 19. He did throw 21 touchdowns, but he's under a new offensive coordinator who's going to let him spread the ball a little bit more underneath to tight ends and running backs and make his life a little bit easier. There are things that he needs to improve. He needs to improve his footwork. He needs to improve not staring down receivers. And his accuracy. But if you improve your footwork, it should improve your accuracy. The biggest concern on offense to me, TJ, is the offensive line health and depth and running back health and depth. We were texting earlier today about Kameon Patrick. A lot of these national magazines haven't really said anything about Kameon, and we know why, because he hasn't played all that much. He played receiver last year, made a couple plays, but we don't know what we have in Kameon. And then the offensive line, the starters, I think it'll be a solid starting group, but if somebody goes down, they're going to have to make a patchwork offensive line, and that could be trouble for the running game. And if this offense doesn't have a running game, It's going to be trouble, but the defense is going to be good, maybe even great next year with Tigre Scales back, Rashard Fant back, and all of those guys. So that's a quick view on Indiana. Let's move to Michigan State, and then we'll end up with Rutgers and Maryland real quickly. Michigan State, TJ, went through a lot of offseason trouble during the headlines for the wrong reasons. Can they stake claim back into that top half of the Big Ten East?
Right now, I think that they are closer, much closer to Indiana and Maryland than they are Penn State and Michigan and Ohio State. I think that to me, anyone claiming the contrary, I think, is strictly doing so based on recent history and Mark D'Antonio, which is fine. I understand if the inclination to do that. But I think the current rosters, Michigan State is much, much closer to Indiana and Maryland than they are the top three in the Big Ten East.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with Harbaugh coming in and recruiting better at Michigan.
That. And I also think that Penn State's had an impact on that.
Yep.
I think Indiana's had somewhat of an impact on that. I'm not entirely sure how many guys we've got from Michigan State that Michigan State has, you know, wanted. But I think that there are a couple. I think Jonah Morris is one of those. But I just think that the – Now, I'll anger some Michigan State fans here, but I don't think Michigan State can consistently be a top one or two program in the Big Ten or even the Big Ten East if Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State are right. If they're
you're seeing that now is that you're going to have to take
right.
– if you want to keep up in recruiting with them, you're going to have to take chances on some people. And right now those chances have not working for Michigan State, and they've lost probably their best young receiver, a couple linemen, defensive linemen, and some other people that they just don't have the depth now to just plug and replace like they did a couple years ago.
Malik McDowell was the last kind of top-end recruit, and I'm talking particularly on their defense. He was kind of that last holdover of the Michigan State team that played in that game, that played any kind of significant role in that game, are now gone.
Yep.
Demetrius Cooper, I think he might have seen the field a little bit, maybe. But beyond that, those guys are gone. L.J. Scott did play somewhat of a role in that season, and he's, you know, talking about their roster this year. L.J. Scott is, he's a good running back. He's good, not great, but he's a steady running back. Gerald Holmes should be better than he is, but at this point, he's a senior, and I think expecting more than what we've seen is probably a bit foolish. I really don't know what they do at receiver. It's not a pretty situation there with Donnie Corley being gone. The offensive
they're going to probably start true freshman Hunter Risen, son of Andre Risen, but it's very uncertain. And then you have the quarterback situation who Brian Lewerke.
He's not a blue chipper. Hunter Risen is not a blue chip recruit that is stepping in as a five-star ready to contribute. He's not.
No,
he might be better than his ranking. You know,
yeah, he's a nice four-star recruit who maybe needed a year to develop and fix some things, but he'll be thrown in and start. And I mean, he's talented. It's just not a fire. It's not Donovan Peoples-Jones out there running it. And then it's the schedule doesn't set up that well for them. You're playing Bowling Green in Western Michigan, Notre Dame, and then, I mean, you have a stretch of Notre Dame, Iowa, at Michigan, at Minnesota, and then they come to or Ayuk goes up there for the old Brass Platoon game on October 21st. It's just the schedule, the bye week comes in week three. It's very early, and they don't get any of those big hitters out of the way in weeks one and two. So you're going
– and they don't get Illinois. They don't get Purdue.
Nope. They get – their crossover games are at Minnesota, at Northwestern, and Iowa. Those are – outside of Wisconsin, those are the three toughest teams in the Big Ten West. And you're playing 10 games in a row where, you know, against those teams, you're going to get beat up, and they just don't have the depth. Now, if they could win
right.
four games going into the last 2 weeks, they do end with Maryland and at Rutgers.
Yep.
So they should be able to get six. But, you know, they're playing with fire, and things are going downhill fast at Michigan State. And I don't know if, with all the stuff going on, if D'Antonio has another bowl-less season, if his seat is really going to warm up, if he'll still be there in 2018. Let's quickly go to Maryland.
Before we head to Maryland, and I'll go to Maryland here next, I do not think, prediction or whatever, and I don't think it's outlandish at all, but I don't think that they go to a bowl game. I think they go 5-7. So we'll move on to Maryland. Big question for them, can they throw the ball? Can anyone catch it? Because their passing game last season was abysmal. It should be slightly better this year. Yeah, that's true. Caleb Henderson, likely going to start. He's a transfer from North Carolina. We don't really know if he's any good. Just because he was at North Carolina doesn't really mean that he was that he's going to be a good Big Ten quarterback. But I do think from a strictly passing perspective, he's going to be better than Roe or Perry Hills. They do have a freshman that they are very high on, but that's Kasim Hill, and he's from D.C., so it's a good local recruit, the guy that they can build around, but they definitely don't want to play him this year. I think that their offensive line can be solid. Like, their running game is definitely still the best part of this team, Ty Johnson and Lorenzo Harrison.
I love their running backs.
Much. Oh, it's awesome. Ty Johnson is so good.
He reminds me
both a lot of Tevin Coleman.
Yes, they wear the same number as well as number six.
Yep.
Maryland is an interesting team. They're talented, TJ, but their schedule is a lot tougher this year where they got some easier wins last year early and squeaked out six. But this year's not
they
a
conference.
They
didn't beat anybody.
No, they didn't.
They didn't beat anybody at all. No.
But this year's non-conference schedule, they open up at Texas. They play Towson in whatever is a grandfathered-in FCS game, and then they play UCF at home. And UCF was much improved last year, and we'll see what they do again in Scott Frost's second year. And then from the West, they're playing at Minnesota, which is tough, Northwestern at home, and at Wisconsin. So, again, you have three very tough games from the West. Indiana, they get Indiana at home. Rutgers are playing at Yankee Stadium. And then they get Michigan, Penn State at home at Michigan State, which, you know, if we're going by your hot take last segment, that could be a win for them. But it's hard to picture, even if they're a little bit better and even if their recruiting is doing pretty well, it's hard to imagine them not taking a step back record-wise in DJ Durkin's second year. But I like Maryland. I think they're in a great recruiting area. I love their running backs, but this schedule is tremendously daunting to a team that needs, and their bye week is also in week three, and they'll have to play 10 straight games. So not everything's going to work in Maryland's favor this year like it did last year. And then finally, Rutgers. I know Rutgers been taken on the chin from IU fans and other sites as well. I like Rutgers' football program. I think their fans they're into it. They love being part of the Big Ten. Going to the Rutgers games out there, they're always tailgating, even if their team stinks. And a game against Indiana where, you know, if that game's at Indiana and not a homecoming game, there's maybe 20,000 people in the stands and the parking lot's dead. So I want to credit Rutgers fans for, you know, making those trips enjoyable to New Jersey, where you from where we have to walk from the media parking lot to the stadium, you walk through a lot of tailgates and everybody's happy to be in the Big Ten, but this team is still a year or two away from being real competitive. Even if they have Kyle Bowen starting at quarterback, he's a transfer from Louisville. Again, he was not going to beat out Lamar Jackson, who we'll see play Purdue in week one as well. But this team, it just, they get Janarian Grant back. They have some players. Janarian Grant's good. Robert Martin's a solid running back, but there's just not much depth there. They do have some pieces, just not enough depth. Their schedule, these ADs at these programs scheduling crazy games. They're playing Washington to open it up on a Friday night. Eastern Michigan, that's a good game to schedule. And then they have another grandfathered in FCS game against Morgan State. But they have to travel to Nebraska. They get a break with Illinois, going to Illinois and drawing Purdue. So their draws from the West are pretty favorable. But again, it's your – can they beat some of these Big Ten East teams who they haven't had really much success against outside of that 2 years ago and beating IU in 2015. So Rutgers, it's going to be another 2 years. They're in a great recruiting area. They could get those guys to stay home. Their stadium is nice enough. Their campus is nice enough. Their atmosphere can be electric. If you've watched the Rutgers games when they're in the Big East playing Louisville or West Virginia or USF, when those teams are ranked in the top five, that place was electric. And now they just need to get their facilities straight and get some of these talent in and really give Chris Ash a little bit of time. But how much time is Chris Ash going to get if you get shut out by Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State again, and I don't know if they scored against Penn State. Let's see. No, they did. Nope. They got shut out by the Big Four. If you get shut out by the Big Four again, his clock is going to start ticking a little bit faster. So that's my take on Rutgers. TJ, let's go down, give our predictions for conference or division finishes. Go ahead.
7, Rutgers, 6, Michigan State, 5, Maryland, 4, Indiana, 3, Michigan, 2, Penn State, 1, Ohio State, and I do think the Buckeyes end up in the college football playoff. I don't think they'll be number 1 heading into it, but I do think that they will be in the college football playoff as one of the top 4 teams in the country. I have a lot of respect for the coaching staff that Urban Meyer has assembled, the level of recruiting he has, and it's hard to argue with JT Barrett's win-loss record as a starter.
Yeah, I'm going to go reverse order from top to bottom. I like Ohio State first. They have the most talent. They have the best coach. They add in Kevin Wilson, who I'm still not sold on what he's going to do for the Ohio State offense. I think it'll change it a little bit, but JT Barrett just put a scare into me last year. If I'm an Ohio State fan,
yep,
he just didn't look right, especially after the IU game. You know, when he averaged about 6 yards per completion, and if you're going to throw the ball that short all the time, your completion percentage should be in the 70s, not in the low 60s. So Ohio State 1, Penn State 2. It's going to come down to that game at Ohio State in October.
Yeah.
That'll be a game to watch. Set your DVRs for that one. 3, Michigan again. I just don't think they have enough to get over those two. They'll either have to beat Penn State at Penn State or beat Ohio State at home. I don't think both of those happen. Maybe one of them happens. I'm going to go Indiana 4th. Their schedule is manageable, even though some people don't think it is. There's a lot of talent there. They have arguably the best receiving core in the conference. Richard Leggo should be able to figure out his accuracy issues. And then if they could get a run game going, this team should take off. 5, I'm going to go with Michigan State. I'm not totally off the boat like you are with them. but I don't see them climbing over Indiana unless Michigan State beats Indiana and there's a tiebreaker issue. But I just don't think they get more than 6 or 7 wins, and then Maryland and Rutgers round it out. It's a tough division, TJ, and it begs for to let this thing ride out, and maybe over time it evens out. Or does Commissioner Delaney look at this and say, well, you've got 3 legitimate top 10 teams in the East, and the West has some good teams, Wisconsin, Northwestern, and Nebraska, and Minnesota, and Iowa are solid, but they're those middle tier or second tier Big Ten teams. Even Wisconsin, who's been, you know, good to great over the last 15, 20 years in the Big Ten, that's the class of the West. And I mean, they just don't hold a candle to those teams right now. So we'll see if they talk about conference realignment and balance of power, things like that. Or do you let it play out and see if it happens? Yeah, that would help too. But that does it for today's podcast. TJ, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Looking forward to previewing the West.
Yep, the West is tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Tune in. All right, that does it for our Big Ten East preview podcast. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Like our page on Facebook. We are also now have our own channel on Apple News. So if you are an Apple user, click on the news app, search Hoosier Huddle, subscribe, and you'll get all our latest news on IU football. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Have a pleasant evening, and we will talk Big Ten West football tomorrow.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.